Delegates from around the world gathered at the United Nations today for the start of a month-long negotiation on a treaty to regulate the global weapons market, valued at more than $60 billion a year. Arms control campaigners say one person every minute dies as a result of armed violence around the world, and that a convention is needed to prevent illicitly traded guns from pouring into conflict zones and fueling wars and atrocities. WBAI's Linda Perry was outside the UN with members of the Arms Control Coalition and files this report.
An international arms trade treaty is not what's on the mind of most 15-year-olds in the summer. But Deepa Saharia is in a summer program called Global Kids U.S. in the World. It's sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations. It teaches students about international law and foreign policy. Outside the UN, she and other high school students bake in the sun inside black body bags in what feels like 100-degree heat. Wearing blank white masks, these students bring attention to the arms trade treaty negotiations getting underway across the street. And they show what happens from unregulated arms trade.
Posing this message of the horrors that come about, we're urging the people who are negotiating the treaty to have a stricter control of arms, to enforce these regulations that are not yet there.
Kevin Marungay is with the Global Kids organization. He says the students in body bags are a symbolic representation of what happens without an effective arms trade treaty.
The killing will continue. Small arms end up in the hands of dictators, militias all around the world, and are responsible for a lot of the death and atrocities that we see happening all over the world.
Justine Lesage is with Oxfam. Along with Amnesty International, they began talking about an arms trade treaty 10 years ago. Lesage says people thought they were completely foolish, an insane idea, and that they were wasting their time.
10 years later, we are here. There are around 200 people, 200 countries that send representatives and ministers and all those official people that will talk about an arms trade treaty, and we will probably have this sign at the end of the month.
What do you think are the most important factors that may come out of this?
Of course, we are humanitarian, so our point of view is saving lives. And we have hundreds, thousands of testimony from people who are victims of the arms, of small arms, of disputes. And it's civil victims. We don't talk about war. We don't talk about warriors. We all have testimonies of civil victims, and so we are working for them and for their voice to be heard here.
As it is now, arms trade between nations is not regulated. There is no agreement between any nation on any responsible arms trade.
So things like Russia can say it's responsible to send weapons to the Assad regime, or brokers can go around laws to deliver weapons to places where there are war crimes or warlords happening.
Jeff Abramson is the director of Control Arms Coalition.
And we want the treaty to change that for countries to legally agree what is responsible trade and hopefully make the future use, the future arms trade, much better.
So if there was a treaty, would that have altered the Fast and Furious?
In theory, any arms transfer needs to be responsible. What happened in the Fast and Furious was really an underground operation. It's hard to imagine that that would fit the criteria of a legal transfer to Mexico. So my understanding of Fast and Furious, what happened there does not fit into what we're talking about in an arms trade treaty.
Now, after 10 years working on the issue, the United Nations is meeting to create an agreement which defines criteria to be used in future arms trade transfers.
States take an assessment on a case-by-case basis of what might happen with those weapons, and if there are certain bad effects that would happen, then trade wouldn't occur. Of course, surrounding the treaty, you need many things. You need a way for countries to hold each other accountable, to have annual meetings. You're going to need transparency so that people like us in civil society can hold states accountable, and that all weapons are included. So things like small arms and ammunition would need to go in there as well as tanks and battleships. So it's really the whole trade.
So it's really a challenge since human rights abuses are widespread.
It is a challenge. I would say that most states recognize that there are some uses for weapons that shouldn't occur, and that this treaty will put in place their agreement that that's the case. Human rights themselves are pretty well defined internationally. It's a bit of a myth that it's a contentious to define these things. What we're trying to make sure is that those human rights concerns are taken into account when arms trade is being considered.
Abramson says it's surprising that there is no arms trade treaty yet, and that dinosaur bones and bananas are better regulated in the world market than weapon transfers of small arms, ammunitions, fighter jets, machine guns, tanks, and battleships throughout the world. And the unintended victims of unregulated weapons are people within war-torn countries.
If it's a weak one, we prefer not to have an agreement. A weak agreement is really worse, because after that, it legitimates what's happening now. So we need a strong one or not. If we don't have an agreement, we can work on it and we can come back in a few months, in 1 year. So that's what.
Whenever the UN is about to debate or put forward some sort of resolution, there are always countries that are sticking points to this. And usually those who are involved in the negotiations can figure out in advance what countries they might have problems with in terms of them agreeing to treaties. What are you guys seeing?
What I can tell you is that usually, unfortunately, the countries who are against are violently against, and they are shouting very loud. So what we need also, you know, I'm from Canada, for example. Canada is a good friend of the treaty, but we need them to talk loud and to say it, because if all the people, all the country who are for the treaty and for a strong treaty don't say anything, it's not good for us. We need them to talk loud as that people against.
By the end of July, the international body should reach a consensus on how the arms trade treaty should work. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.